Well, I don't think I could improve on the altar call. But when Brother Brent was preaching, when he said bitterness, I stood up because I felt the touch of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That was the root of the problem right there. And I also thought of a scripture that came to me. For God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He wasn't here to condemn you because of your bitterness. He was here to cleanse you from your bitterness. Amen? Brother Frank Rogers went through a lot of church trouble at his home church. Finally, the church split, a lot of bitterness. He carried that with him for a long time. He kept praying. He kept going to church. Kept preaching even. But he still had that. He still was battling that. And he and I went to Kansas City, Brother Leon Belt's church. They was having a fellowship meeting. And George Allen. George Allen got up to preach. And in his text, he read, "Let it be healed." And Brother Frank said immediately he was healed.
Wow.
Amen. Hallelujah. And God said, and it was so. Let it be healed.
Yeah.
And so I'm not trying to, I couldn't preach Brother Brent's message if I wanted to. I'd like to preach that well, I really would. But I'm here to tell you that God came by this morning to help you, amen. The other things you're doing is a result of that bitterness, amen. You get the bitterness taken care of, you'll move everything else back in line, amen. Praise the Lord. And I hope you did. I hope it's already taken care of. I wouldn't have any way of knowing, and I'm glad I don't know, but I would like to just say that I thank God for the message this morning. I thank God for the message, the messenger, and for the move of the Holy Ghost. And to me, the most important thing is right there at the altar. Now, I'll be honest with you. When I looked at what I felt like the Lord gave me to preach on, I don't see any altar call. So I told Brother Randy came to me last night, and he said, "Would you like to be first or second?" I don't know what he asked me that for. I've been preaching on it for several years, and he never had asked me before. But anyway, I guess he just thought he'd be nice to me or something. And I said, I'll just take whatever you give me. Just whatever. Well, no, you'll know. I said, no. But here's what my thinking. If Brother Brent got up, there's a possibility God would get to moving, and I'd get the offering, and he'd get the work.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah,
praise the Lord. So I thought, I'll just take a chance on that.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And I felt like he would give an altar call. And to me, as I said before, of all the other things we have, the most sober and serious and the most probable thing is that altar call. Amen.
Yeah.
Without it, and like I said, I hate to say that because I don't really, really see myself here with an altar call this morning with what I'm going to preach on. But I would like to see the altar. But I hope it's already taken care of. So if it has been taken care of, when you shake my hand, will you just kind of whisper in my ear and say, it's settled, it's fixed? I'd be glad to know it's happened. Amen? If God wants it to happen, I want it to happen. Amen? Praise the Lord. This morning before daylight, I was praying and meditating on this and trying to figure out, fit it. I don't know what you do, but I try to fit in. You know, trying to think how things are going to work the next day. You kind of go through your mind. You've had that good service last night. Brother Joy said, I know I didn't preach well, and I want to make it public that when he says I preached well, send me the CD. I want to hear it. It'll be out of this world. Amen. So watch him and get that good CD. But anyway, we just had a wonderful time. And as far as intelligence, now, that Brother Meekum is intelligent. He came up. I mentioned that I like to preach on mountains. Well, he named every mountain in Israel. And Egypt, too, I think. They got one. Amen. And what they meant and what they had, you know. I mean, he just went through that. All I could do is just look at him and kind of bat my eyes once in a while. Because he was wonderful. Amen. So we've had a good time. I was thinking about that. And I thought of a man that I heard preach probably 40 years ago. He was an old man. He's probably 15 years younger than I am. But he's preaching. He got up to preach. And his lip kind of was like that. And I remember him preaching. People sitting there. He said, you don't have to say amen. I know my calling. And some said to me, just know your calling. Amen. Now I'm telling you, he preached. I'd heard him before. But he preached, and he told about how that he started somewhere, and a drunk ran into him and knocked him in the ditch, and he's laying there in the ditch. He knocked him out of his car, I guess, and he's laying in the ditch. Somebody ran up to him, called him by name, said, we need to pray. And he said, I've got my praying done. I settled that this morning before I left on my journey. Hallelujah. And I listened to him, cried. Then after we got through, somebody walked up and told me about something that happened to him as a young man that put a cloud in his life. And really, I would probably think he wasn't qualified to preach. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad I heard that after I'd enjoyed the message. Amen. Praise the Lord. Then somebody else got to talk to him about him and told me how that when he was a young preacher, how he'd climb the hills of Kentucky in those mountains there, and he'd walk through the cold and the snow. When he got to the little church, the women there would have towels. They'd be warming them. They'd take his shoes off and warm his frozen feet. And sometimes there'd be blood on those towels where his feet had frozen and burst. And when I heard about him doing that to preach the gospel, I said, I wish I'd never known. Hallelujah. I wish I'd have never known. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Have people willing to sacrifice. Praise the Lord. You don't have to amen me. I know my calling. Hallelujah. 2 Kings, 3rd chapter. Hey, that's the wrong note. Whose is that? Oh, okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. 2 Kings, 3rd chapter. And this is where Jehoram, the son of Ahab, he lost some bounty. The Moabites had quit sending that 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams with wool. And so he was going to come and bring them back into line. He took the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, and also the king of Edom went with him. And they got out there and they got in a place where there was no water. Their cattle was needing water. They were needing water. So the king of Israel, whenever he saw this going on, he said, the king of Israel said, alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. All he could see was God was doing that to him. I like this. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him?
One of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, "Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah." Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." Now, I want to preach on prophecy. I don't know just how to get into this, but that's what the Lord laid on my heart. And you remember yesterday I talked to you about how that God just sprinkled all through the Bible certain things. Remember I talked to you about how that when Jacob was talking to his sons, and he talked to Dan, and after that he talked to Gad, I believe it was. I'm not sure. It's kind of gone from it. But then he said, "I waited for thee, thy salvation. I waited for thee, Yehoshua." He'd waited for the Lord. I preached on those names and how Jesus had his name just sprinkled all through the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I'm talking to you about prophecy because a lot of times when we think of prophecy, we think of someone like Brother Philip Horton teaching or preaching on prophecy, and it's wonderful. I love to hear him. Amen. But sometimes there's prophecy that comes to us, and I think that we're living in an hour when we're going to start seeing scriptures that open up to us and speak to us from God's word. Amen. Praise the Lord. I looked at this where, you know, they said, "Is there not a prophet of the Lord?" And they said, "Well, there's one here that poured water on the hands of Elijah." Isn't it? You know, always, all the good prophets are dead. Did you know that? They always are dead. And the ones that are alive right now, they're really not worth listening to. But the good ones are dead. Amen. L.D. Moore's gone, and others just like him are gone. And so we got no one to listen to now. And I realize that in the foreseeable future, maybe we don't have an L.D. Moore. I don't know. Amen. You know, there ain't very many men, Brother Lloyd Shoecraft over at Brother Mike's told about how he was always saying to himself, "Why didn't he call me? Why didn't L.D. Moore call me? He's always calling this other preacher. Why don't he call me?" And he said he was in church one night, and L.D. just walked over to him and said, "The reason I don't call you, you don't need it." That'd make you kind of look funny, wouldn't it? Amen. He never asked him, "Have you been calling me?" He said, "I want me to call you." He said, "The reason I don't call you is you don't need it." I like that kind of prophet, don't you? I like that. That's solid. That's good. But at the same time, amen, I think, you know, when we're realizing that we have lost something like that, we must realize we still have God's word. And we still have God that can speak to us through his word. And this man, Elisha, you know, Elijah, he was the good man. Here's a man that poured water on the hands of Elijah. Well, Jehoram's dad was the one that said to Elijah, "Are he you that troubleth Israel? You're the one that's been causing all the trouble?" You see, Jesus said, we always adorn the sepulchres of those that have gone on and were ready to kill those that are alive. Amen. But after they die, then we want to make something great out of them. But I'm still back with my thought here, and I hope I get to it in a minute. The fact is, just because Elijah said there ain't nobody else but me, why, he'd just been told by Obadiah that 100 prophets had been hidden and he'd fed them bread and water. We don't know their names, and we don't know where God's prophets are tonight or today. But at the same time, John Gabbard says, amen, when the Holy Ghost comes on me, I'm a prophet in the New Testament. How is it? I'm a prophet by the, according to the New Testament, amen. That word, he said it right, and I can't repeat it, but I'm just simply saying that when the Holy Ghost comes on men, you can expect God to move, amen. Praise the Lord. But here's that's not what I'm really going to talk about. I want to talk about the fact that, you know, that we have the word, and I want you to just think about this if I could. I don't know if I can get this across to you, but I hope to. You know, we pick certain people out, and we say they're right. But did you ever notice that there's one thing I want to read to you here in John 11, 49 and 52. And one of them named Caiaphas, this is when Lazarus had been risen from the dead, you know, Christ raised him from the dead. And the Bible said one of them named Caiaphas, being high priest that same year, said unto them, you know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, that the whole nation perish not. That, and this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied. Can you imagine a man like Caiaphas, wicked, wicked, and yet the Bible says, and I believe the Bible said he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. What a prophecy by a man that was so wicked. And the Bible said that from that moment on, they took a counsel or plan to kill the Lord Jesus Christ because of this prophecy. I know that Caiaphas probably thought he was the one that thought it up. He thought he was smart. But I'll tell you what I think. There's times when God may not honor the man, but he'll honor the office. Amen. See what I'm saying? Yeah. This wasn't the right kind of man to be in that office, but he was in that office. And for that reason, God honored him, amen, and gave him that prophecy. I remember seeing a man that I had long hair and a beard, and he was prophesying 7 years before Donald Trump was elected president that he would be elected president. Amen. I don't think God honored the way the man looked, but he honored the fact that that man had an outreach that would reach thousands of people that you and I'll never reach. And so he used that man to tell the world what he was going to do. I believe in that. I really don't know about you, but that's the way I feel. I'm not a prophet, and I'm not good at preaching on prophecy. Amen. But I feel that this year is going to be a year on which you'll see some scriptures come to pass, fulfilled, and will rejoice over the fact that God is still in control, and he still takes this Bible that some people consider dead, and it's just as live as it ever was before, and we're going to be blessed by these words that's in this Bible. Amen. Look at this, if you would, please. In Luke 4, Brother Joy talked about that last night. And when Luke 4, when Jesus had read from the book of Isaiah, he said this, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. How old was that scripture? About 700 years. Yeah. Amen. For 700 years, the children of Israel had been reading that, quoting that. Tens of thousands of times it had been read. But nobody really knew what it meant until Jesus came and said, this day, this day, amen, amen. They wondered, they were astonished. His gracious words, amen. Of course, they turned around and got mad at him, and I don't get on that, but just simply saying that it was 700 years, but God hadn't forgot what he said, and God knew when he said it, and knew why he said it. He wanted us to realize that this book is full of prophecy, amen. It's full of it, amen. And then again, let's go on a little farther, if it could please. Amen. You remember when Jesus, in John 2, when Jesus had driven the money changers out of the temple, the disciples remembered it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. A prophecy 1,000 years old. Amen. Praise the Lord. And yet, God brought it to pass. If God can do that, don't you know? Amen. We have a lot of, I kind of thought maybe I was teaching a little bit on Revelation, and I have some. Amen. But I thought I'd see what Barnes' notes had to say about it. Amen. Just see, you know. So I got Barnes out, and I started reading there in the front where he started telling about the people he'd read after trying to get something for him to use to give us something on Revelation. If I'm not wrong, I counted about 25 authors that he'd read after, amen, before he ever attempted to write anything on the book of Revelation. I thought, well, that lets me out. I ain't read even half that many or a third that many. I believe I'll just drop it, amen. You know what I'm saying? But here's what I'm saying. They read it, and I want to tell you something. Barn read those 25, amen. He put his opinion in there. We've got book after book after Revelation. But I believe there'll come a time, amen, possibly in your lifetime and mine, when you'll see things in the book of Revelation and it'll completely turn around and it'll be something altogether different because it wasn't time yet for that to be revealed. I believe we're living a time when God is on the move. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. I believe God is on the move and God is going to start revealing things to us through his scriptures. Amen. The church may come under a person persecution. We may have trials and tests, and things don't look good, but there's a God in heaven, and he planted this word on the earth, amen, and it's full of things, amen, that will feed and saturate our souls with his presence, amen. Remember when Christ, Matthew 21, Christ rode into Jerusalem on the donkey? Matthew records that all this is done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet there in Zechariah 500 years ago. Zechariah had said it, but Jesus fulfilled it. And Matthew said, amen, I'll take that. I'll take that. That's back a long time ago. But like I said, we're going to have to be very attentive. We're going to have to be very attentive because God is going to be speaking to us through his ministers from time to time. You may not catch it. I was sitting in a Sunday school class not too long ago. Brother Ronnie Baker was teaching, and I was listening to him teach. And all of a sudden, he caught my attention. He said something that was out of the ordinary. I tried to write it down. I said, Lord, let him repeat that so I can get that down. And he did repeat it. If I got it right, he said this, if we will walk in and will keep his commandments, if we will walk in his way, when we become what we need to be, God will become what he wants us to be. I thought about that. I called Brother Baker later, and I said, I appreciate that. He said, you know, I don't know why I said that, Brother Charles. It wasn't in my lesson. Just all of a sudden, I said it. Let me read that again. If we will keep his commandments, if we will walk in his way, when we become what we need to be, God will become what he wants us to be. Now, that's so deep I can't fathom that, but it's rich in thinking when you think about it. The reason why it's rich to me, because just a day or two before that, I've been reading with Christ in the School of Prayer by Andrew Murray. Here's what Andrew Murray said. My prayer will depend on my life. What God's words are to me and in me, my words will be to God. If I do what God says, God will do what I say. You see how the two goes together? I'm talking about prophecy. But you see, if I'd been playing with my cell phone, I'd never caught that. It'd been just like, amen, if I'd been visiting with somebody when Bill Houston said, Charles Barnett, God don't want you with your knee like that where you can't kneel and get around. He wants you to preach the gospel. When I jumped out and said, I'll take that. But if I hadn't been looking, amen, and listening, that could have went by me, and I'd never known a thing that God had to say to me. That's the reason I say we need to give our attention to the preacher of the gospel, to the teacher in the Sunday school, because God might have something in there that he wants to give you, especially for that hour and for that day, amen. And I want to tell you, amen, Bill Houston's dead and gone, but his word lives on. I'm still walking, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I just want you to know that. Amen. I'm still walking. So that's what I'm saying. When Reverend Ronnie said that, I thought, what in the world? That is profound. I don't understand the fullness of it. But it shook me to realize here in a Sunday school class, all of a sudden, this teacher just said something. And when I called him, he said, I don't know why I said it. It just come before I thought. Amen. I thought, that's God. That's God. It reminded me of Brother L.D. Moore, and I know you heard him tell at the time when this mother had this boy in the hospital, and this foreign doctor was going to perform some kind of operation on him. It's something about his stomach. I can't remember it. Amen. But this mother had been praying, and she worked in a chicken factory. Amen. And where they killed and dismembered chickens, you know, and fixed them. Amen. And so when the doctor come out and he started talking to her, she said, Doctor, I don't know anything about, she didn't say anatomy, but that's what she's talking about. Said, I don't know, but said, I was praying about my boy. And said, and my prayer, she saw a chicken entrails, amen. And she went to tell that doctor about those chicken entrails and what she saw in those chicken entrails, amen. And when she told him, he said, that doctor looked at her and said, that is God. That is God. Amen. That is God. Well, she could have told that to you and I, and we said, well, you know, it's funny, you know, she's praying about her boy and seeing the chickens inside, you know. But that doctor knew anatomy. And when she told him what she saw in those chicken entrails, amen, he said, that is God. That's the reason why I say you have to watch it. There is a prophet, but there's also a spirit of prophecy that can come and rest upon people. They may be in the testimony service. It may be in a song. Amen. But the spirit of prophecy is still alive and well. Amen. We may not have no Elijahs. We may not have any L.D. Moores. I don't know about that. We've got some in. I'm glad for that. But I'm simply saying to you today, amen, we need to perk up our ears and listen and realize that there's a God in heaven that cares for his people, and prophecy still comes through his word, and it comes through the teacher and the preacher, amen. Just like I felt like whenever Brother Meekham prophesied or preaching and said, there's someone here. I listened to that. Amen. I felt like God had been talking. Amen. When Brother Joy is preaching, I felt like God had been talking. Whenever Brother, amen, Brother Brent was preaching this morning, God has been speaking. When he said bitterness, I felt the Holy Ghost shake me. Amen. And whenever Joy preached, it was last night. He probably won't even remember. I want to get a CD and listen to it again. But he started talking about prophecy. And he got that. And tears started coming down my eyes. Amen. And my lips started trembling. And I thought about how I thought about this message I was going to be preaching down here. And how I was unsure of myself. I couldn't see no altar call. I couldn't see nothing. Amen. But I felt like God wanted me to preach on prophecy. And when I felt the presence of the Holy Ghost, amen. And then this morning, I thought about that old brother that said, I know my calling. And something said, no, you're calling. And just do what I say. And that's why I'm trying to do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You remember, the Bible said, we're talking about, is there not a prophet of the Lord here? Remember in the book of Luke, the Bible says, concerning a man by the name of Simeon, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death, for he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after custom of law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy Yeshua. Amen. I use that transliteration that lawyer did. Amen. All right. I thought this. Simeon, I wondered how was this revelation made and why? And then, you know, why wasn't he going from synagogue to synagogue looking for some great teacher? Why wasn't he going looking at the king's children? Wondering if the Messiah coming there. I got to think about that. I don't know if this is right, but I'd just like to give you this. I like this when I think about it. I think that one day Simeon was reading from the book of Isaiah, and he read these words. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. And I thought Simeon probably said to himself, God is saying, behold, look at this. There's going to be a baby born, and his mother's going to call him God with us. His diet shows that he's going to be born into a poor family. And as he thought on this, he kept on reading. And pretty soon he came to those scriptures just a little ways over. Said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And the Holy Ghost whispered in Simeon's ear and said, that's it. That's it. Don't look at the king's palace. Don't go to the synagogues. Amen. He said, now he's a child. Amen. He's going to be born. He'll probably be in some humble parent's arms. Amen. He's under the law. That means in 40 days he'll be coming to the temple. I'm not going to look anywhere else. He just got down close to the temple. And every day he'd go in there and he'd look. Amen. And one day he felt that special touch. Amen. He passed by those up there that had their lamb and all the other stuff, the rich folks. Amen. man, he just quit walking by. He got down there to Joseph and Mary, and when he got him, he took him up in his arm. Lord, it's time, Lord, to move me on home. Amen. I've been blessed by you. I've been helped by you. Hallelujah. Now you've let me see Yeshua. You let me see your Savior of the world. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, my friend, this word of God is powerful. It reveals things to people, amen, that only the people that are spiritual can see. I hope I'm not wearing you out. Hallelujah. Think about John the Baptist. Remember, somewhere, I've got some notes on that. Yeah, John the Baptist. Jesus said there was not born among women one greater than that prophet, John the Baptist. And I was thinking about him. You remember Peter said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which is in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that preach the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angel desired to look into." And I thought, look at that. I was reading that, and I was thinking about that. Those prophets that prophesied, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all those other minor prophets, amen. They'd come, that spirit had come up on them, amen, and they'd want to know, what's it all about? What's it all about, amen? But it's just kind of like God told Daniel, seal up the book. Did we go so far? And something would say, it's for a time to come. Just keep on preaching. It's for a time to come. Just keep on preaching. It's for a time to come. Hallelujah. Then our Lord Jesus, as I said before, said among them that are born of women, there's not risen greater than John the Baptist. And yet the Bible says he did no miracles. But I got to think about this, Brother Joy. Amen. Look at this. Amen. If I was Elijah, amen, if I'd roll back the waters of Jordan, if I'd raise the dead, if I'd heal the sick, amen, if I'd prayed a drought and then prayed rain, and done all those things, I'd have traded all of that just to be able to be in the water when Jesus come down and see that dove come down and light on him and remain on him. Hallelujah. Just to hear God say that I'd have traded every miracle that ever performed, be able to look at him and to behold the Lamb of God which taketh away. No wonder he was greater, amen. He received what they've been prophesying about. It was the end of the trail, amen. Hallelujah. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Amen. I'm telling you, my friend, amen, it's what the law was reaching for, and they found him that day, and he said, behold the Lamb of God. That's Christ. That's him. Amen. I like this. You may not believe this, but I like this. I've told you before, and this is no new thing, but I told you before. I hope that's not something I needed. Anyway, I've told you before that I was praying one time, and I saw two lights from a figure in the darkness. And one light said atonement, and the other said sanctification. You remember that? Hell, I know I've told you that. And I know, I don't expect you to believe that. I'm just telling you that. If the Holy Ghost witnessed to you, all right. But if you don't, just pass it up. I'm just talking. But that's what I saw. Hallelujah. But it makes you kind of watch for things. And I was looking at this here in John 1:29. He said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's our atonement. Then the Bible said that a day or so later, next day maybe it was. Amen. Remember, Jesus had said something when he's praying, talking about his church. They're not of this world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify through them truth, thy truth, thy word is truth. John 1:36 and 37. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God, That's our sanctifier. Why do you say that, brother? Because the Bible talks about sanctification. Sanctify them. That means separate them. Notice what happens when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the Bible said, two disciples heard him speak. They followed him. Amen. They sanctified themselves. They separated. Amen. The first was the atonement. The next was sanctification. Amen. They separated themselves and followed him. Amen. I love it. Amen. The Lord is our Savior. He's our sanctifier. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And the Bible said in Thessalonians, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also do it." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you're struggling with the world, amen, you just come to him. He'll help you get over that. You understand what I'm saying? I'd love to be. Amen. Think about John the Baptist. I'm telling you, when I read that and I thought, Brother Philip Horton, how good that was, I thought, man, no wonder any prophet in the world, amen, Moses himself, would have traded everything he'd ever done just to been able to baptize Jesus, amen, and said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Amen. He'd been willing for people to mock him and scoff him and say, "Well, he doesn't heal nobody. He doesn't do anything." You know, no, I may have not done anything. Amen. But I recognized our Savior. Hallelujah. I'm telling you this morning, I'm preaching you on prophecy, and I know how good I've done, and I'm pretty well through, because, amen, if you're not confused by the notes, I am. And so I'm just telling you, praise God, that this day we got a Savior that's going to reveal himself in days to come. This word become richer. It'll become more revealing. It's going to help us. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Glory be to God. Woo! Woo! Glory. Hallelujah. Woo! Handa my shatana my handa na my. Woo! Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I'm looking for the coming of that glad millennial day when the blessed Lord shall come and catch us waiting right away. Isn't that a wonderful thought? He's coming again. But I'll tell you something else I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to the Holy Ghost moving in our services when our preachers are preaching under the anointing. And you'll say, "I caught that. I caught that." I'm looking at the time when you're just sitting reading the Bible, and all of a sudden you'll say something. "Well, I've read that dozens of times. How come it? But it means something now." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'll just put it this way. I'm going to turn it back to Brother Randy. But if you're here this morning and you say, "Lord, I need the Holy Ghost to help me understand the Word of God." And he's a good one. He's a good one. Hallelujah. Now this, Brother David, this is going to fool you. You told me who that was preaching on Sunday morning. I was driving down the road. And I was driving down the road. Now this may seem foolish to you. I was driving down the road and I listened to that preacher. He comes home from 9:30 till 10. I don't know who he is. Anyway, he's preaching Pentecostal. And he mentioned, just in his preaching, he mentioned Delilah. And all of a sudden I thought about what a price she exacted from those Philistines to betray Samson. And something said to me, the worldly church has its price. The worldly church has its price. You'll betray the Lord if the price is good enough. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Glory be to God. She loved Samson. She'd have betrayed him for something a lot cheaper if she hadn't. She loved him, but she loved the riches of this world more than she loved Samson. Don't you forget that.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
As far as I know, this is the only book of prophecy that there is in the world. Anybody else know of any? This is the only book, Brother Mike, I know of. Now, I may be wrong. If I'm wrong, tell me after a while. This is the only book that his prophecy has came true. I'm not talking about the one where guy wrote, said the Lord was going to come September back in the 80s and didn't work out, did it? Huh? This is the only book that's got prophecy where it says it's going to happen, and it happens. And it has happened. And all of them have happened. And all of them that are yet to happen will happen. Huh? We're going to pray. We're going to come up here and pray together. After 9/11, there was a man in the news. I believe it was Joel. What's his name? No. Rosenberg. Joel Rosenberg. And he had wrote a book that was so eerily close to 9/11 that, I'm telling you, his sales went up. Whoop. He became a mystic and a... And people admire the fact this man wrote this, and it came true just about like he said in a novel. Wasn't it a novel he wrote? What about this book? Huh? Hey, what about this book? You remember this book, don't you? The one over underneath the Good Housekeeping and the Reader's Digest and Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. What about this book? I love this book. I love this book. I love it. Man, I've been through some trials in my life, and all of us has our cross to bear. And I've looked over at that old book laying on the table and just cry, looking at that, knowing there's my anchor and my hope, the Word of God. I love this book. Don't you? Let's stand. Brother Charles, it's so good talking about these prophecies, and it came to pass 700 years later. Amen. Y'all believe in that? Come to church. I'm gonna tell you now. Now listen to me. We're gonna be done. But listen to me. God has used men of God this week with the spirit of prophecy and revelation, right here, right in this day, right now, right here in the Keene Mountain Village. You believe it? Over and over, God has spoke to people, this, think this, do this, say this, and this will come to pass. You say that and do this. How many knows I'm telling you the truth? That's how we're going to survive. We're either going to believe in this and adhere to this and embrace this, or we're going to be just a loosey-goosey religious church that's going nowhere. Amen. All right.
Praise God.
I want us all to gather in. We're going to eat lunch as soon as we all gather up here and seek the Lord together. Come on. You can just come up here. You can just stand or kneel. Or lay on the carpet, whatever you feel like doing. Come on and let us seek God. Seek God about what we've heard and the challenge that's been made. Let's rise to the challenge. Amen. Today this scripture is fulfilled in thine ears. Sweet Lamb of God. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.